What makes a city resilient? The people? Is it the weathered buildings, the flood protection levees, flexible enterprises and workers that can change with the times? In Portland, Oregon, resilience quite literally grows on trees, and they discovered it in the search to solve an environmental mystery: elevated levels of cadmium in the atmosphere. Cadmium is a heavy metal that can cause cancer. But nobody knew where the cadmium was coming from. That is, until researchers with the U.S. Forest Service enlisted some common tree mosses to identify the cadmium culprit. Cassandra Profita from member station OPB in Portland gathered this story.
Forest Service researcher Sarah Javon barely has to walk two blocks from her office in downtown Portland to find a shaggy patch of dark green tree moss. It grows all over the city.
You can even just see it from here, these trees. You can see the big, dark blotches. Basically, that's the moss. You can see it across the street, all these trees on the street here.
Javon is a lichenologist. That is, she studies moss and lichen.
So for a sample, probably you'd need maybe, you know, a couple handfuls. And you take it in the lab and you trim it up a little bit. There's often bark and dirt and whatnot.
To test it for pollutants, scientists grind up the moss, liquefy it, and run it through a machine that measures contaminants. Because moss gets all of its nutrients from the atmosphere, it's a natural air pollution monitor, as Forest Service economist Jeff Donovan found out.
And until we got into this, I was kind of assumed that we knew what was in our air, but we actually know very little.
Donovan and Javon wanted to see if moss testing could help regulators track down the source of the city's extra cadmium pollution. Together, the researchers gathered more than 300 moss samples across the city. Then they reviewed the results.
We go and we look at the heavy metal data, you know, and we open up the data sheet. But then we see these two big hotspots, I mean, really big hotspots. So one in southeast Portland and one in north Portland.
They overlaid the cadmium hotspots with a map of known sources of cadmium pollution, expecting them to match up.
And they didn't at all. And that's where the mystery started.
So where was the cadmium coming from? As they searched for other possible sources, they made a startling discovery. The levels of cadmium in the moss samples clearly pointed to the culprits. The two hotspots were right around two companies that make artistic stained glass.
We're looking at these things thinking, wow, we didn't see this one coming. I mean, most people don't think stained glass manufacturers are so sort of evil polluters. You know, you don't think of that at all. It was surprising, certainly.
Stained glass makers use cadmium to make their red, orange, and yellow colors. But they aren't required to use pollution controls or test their emissions. So regulators didn't know how much cadmium they were releasing. The levels were particularly alarming around bullseye glass. There, the moss also revealed a hotspot for arsenic, another metal used in glassmaking.
I was furious. I was honestly so mad.
Sarah Livingstone lives a few blocks from Bullseye. Weeks before officials announced the hazardous hotspots, she had rushed to the ER, unable to breathe. She was diagnosed with pneumonia and pleural effusion. She didn't have a reason to blame air pollution until she heard the news.
And, you know, my understanding is that both arsenic and cadmium can really wreak havoc on the lungs, especially cadmium.
Based on the moss tests, state officials put an air monitor near Bullseye. The levels of cadmium and arsenic they found were unprecedented, high enough to cause cancer. When Livingstone's lung problems hadn't cleared up, her doctor started testing for lung cancer. She says she feels betrayed by officials who admit they didn't know what was in the air in her neighborhood.
If the Forest Service would not have presented them with the tree moss study, would we even know about it now? No.
Based on the moss findings, Oregon officials are rewriting state air pollution rules, two Portland glassmakers will be required to install pollution controls, and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is investigating stained glass companies across the country. But the whole ordeal has left many wondering what other toxic air pollution regulators are missing. Why aren't we taking more moss samples?
They're really showing us things that we haven't been able to detect before.
Vivek Chandas is an urban planning professor at Portland State University. He says because air testing is so expensive, it's normal for regulators to test just one location per city.
We only know really at a very general level across the metropolitan region what the air quality is like. We're missing a lot, though I would have to add, I'm not surprised.
Chandas hopes more moss testing can fill in the gaps in what we know about air pollution. It costs $150,000 a year to run a monitor that can only test the air in one place. The Forest Service spent $20,000 on moss sampling to test the air across the city. Portland State University is now planning to buy the machine it needs to do its own moss testing.
It's inexpensive. It's relatively easy to get. Why aren't we turning over every stone and looking under every moss carpet?
We're not quite at the point where we can just test moss instead of putting up air monitors. Javon and Donovan with the Forest Service say they still need to do more research to convert moss test results directly into air quality measurements. But, they say, that's the dream. Meanwhile, they're planning a trip to Cincinnati, where doctors are finding children with elevated mercury and cadmium in their blood. No one knows where the metals are coming from, but the city's moss could offer some clues. For The Takeaway, I'm Cassandra Profita, member station OPB.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.